And as you're being seated and find your place, you can take your Bibles and turn with us this morning to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah chapter number 7. And we will be there momentarily. You know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy history. And there's a church over in Halstead, Pennsylvania, up by Binghamton. First Baptist Church of Halstead. And I came across their website, and they are celebrating this year, their 200th church anniversary. And on their website, they had a form that you could request a copy of their anniversary booklet that they were putting together for their 200th anniversary. And so I thought, sure, I'd like to read about that history of that church. And so they're on our mailing list for some events that we have, for some like of the concerts and things like that. And so I went ahead and put in a note for that, and it came in last week. And so I open it and I start to peruse it a little bit, and in the very front page, they listed a list of credits, some different people that they were thanking for providing material for the 200th anniversary booklet. And lo and behold, they're down about third or fourth or fifth on the list. We were in that anniversary booklet. Sarah Baptist Church, Morning Times, Pastor, I always mispronounce his name, Pastor Pierce or Pastor Pease long story short, he was a pastor there in Halstead before he resigned there and came down here to pastor our church here. And so I just thought that was very interesting. Didn't realize that we had any connection, as tangible or non-tangible as it may have been, but just to open a book and see, oh, well, they have a little bit of a connection to us. But then there are other churches, and that's a blessing to celebrate 200 years. But then, and you've perhaps done so, I know Manny and I, we've done so on a number of occasions. We've driven past an old church building that was once alive with people singing, worshiping, preaching, Bible studies, Sunday schools, youth groups, youth ministries, and other ministries of that church. But now that church, they stand empty. They're boarded up, turned into apartments. Worse yet, there's a church in Oklahoma that we knew of, that they were about maybe 30 minutes from us in Jennings, Oklahoma, and they had to close. And now today in that place stands a bar where a church once stood. Just over, in fact, in I believe Elmira, where a church once stood, there is now, it's now an entertainment venue, and it's one of the an old type church like this. And you go in and you look at the you go in and you can see where the sanctuary once was, and now it's just kind of an entertainment hall where they have games and TVs and food and everything else. And yeah, we've all driven past churches like that, that they once stood for something, but now they're closed. And now, or worse yet, they've been turned into something other than what they were originally intended for. And we had to stop and ask ourselves, well, what happened? I mean, at one time, God must have worked there and must have been at work there, but now His hand of blessing has been removed. His hand of blessing has been taken away. And that is exactly the warning we see in our text this morning that God gives to Judah through Jeremiah. He tells them, go look at Shiloh. Remember Shiloh. And don't think that it can't happen to you. And this morning, we're going to look at our text and we're going to examine just the history, the message behind Shiloh and what it means for us today as individuals, but also corporately, as families and as a church. And so you're there this morning, Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, and notice there if you would, beginning at verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says this, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood, in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In this house, which is called by my name, or is this house, excuse me, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. If that phrase sounds familiar, by the way, Jesus later on in the New Testament, when he goes to and he drives the money changers out of the temple. He accuses them of making his temple a house or a den of thieves. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, and I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will hear, or I will not hear thee. I want you to notice again verse number 12, where God says, but go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this simple thought: remember Shiloh. Remember Shiloh. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, now we just pray as we open your word now that you would help us to quiet our hearts and focus on you and what your word has for us this morning. We pray, Lord, that it would challenge us and encourage us to be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And the Lord, now this morning, we just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say those things which need to be said, and help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And the Lord, now we just pray you meet with us in a special and real way as only you can. And for all that you'll do this morning, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. If there be one here this morning that need Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this place without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Lord, if there be one here that they're carrying burdens, Lord, help them to realize that they can tell Jesus about them this morning and leave them at the cross. And the Lord, now for all you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we're here this morning in Jeremiah chapter number 7. And just to kind of paint the picture and set the stage and give you a little bit of background about what is happening here at this point in Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah is preaching in the gate known as the temple gate. We see that in verse number 2. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. And so we have Jeremiah. He's preaching here at the temple gate. And the people were turning, or were trusting rather, in outward symbols of religion. We notice here in verse number 4, God says to them, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And so we have a people here as Jeremiah is preaching to them. They were under the impression, and they thought wrongly, by the way, that, well, because they had the temple, because the Ark of the Covenant once resided there, and because sacrifices were still being offered there, well, they thought, well, hey, we're safe from judgment. We're safe from God coming down and judging us. Well, if we know anything about our Bible, in 1st or 2nd Peter, the Bible tells us that judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord. And so whenever God starts to judge a people, he always begins with his people. And so we see here, they thought they were safe, but God tells them in verse number 4, don't trust in lying words. And then in verse number 12, he gives a vivid warning to the people of Judah to remember Shiloh. To remember Shiloh. And so there's several things I wanted to see this morning. Number one being this, the rise of Shiloh. The rise of Shiloh. Go and take your Bibles, Joshua chapter 18. Keep your finger in Jeremiah. We'll be back there momentarily. But Joshua chapter 18. And so Shiloh was, if I can put it in Texas terms, where Mandy lived was a little town called Kerrville, Texas. It was known as the Hill Country of Texas. And well, Shiloh was a city in the hill country of Ephraim. And after Israel entered the Promised Land, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, would be set up there in Shiloh. Look there, if you would, Joshua chapter 18 and verse number 1. Joshua chapter 18 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them." And so after Israel would enter the promised land, and after the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant would be set up there, it would then be for over 300 years. For over 300 years that Shiloh would be the center. It would be smack dab the middle of Israel's worship. You go, you read 1 Samuel chapter 1, you find that is where Hannah prayed for a child and dedicated Samuel to the Lord. This is where the priesthood of Eli would minister. It was a place where God's presence was known. It was a place where God's presence was felt. It was a place where His word was proclaimed. It was a place where His worship was centralized. Everything that had to do with the worship of God for over 300 years took place at this place called Shiloh. Shiloh, no doubt, started with God's blessings. Families would come to worship. Prayers would be answered. Children would be dedicated. Sacrifices would be offered. But here's the reality this morning. A good beginning does not guarantee a good ending. A good beginning does not guarantee a good ending. There's a documentary on YouTube that I watched here this past week. And this is why when I was leaving Oklahoma, and there's a couple sites that you can advertise on for a church needing a pastor. And so we went through and we put everything that we were looking for in a pastor. And well, there are some guys on those Facebook pages, they don't necessarily agree with certain things. And I can't begin to tell you the amount of people I had questioned that said, "Oh, well, if you just change from the King James, you'll get more people. Or if you'll do this, you'll just get more people. Or if you do this or you do that, and you'll get this and you'll get that. And, oh, you're never going to find somebody with all those requirements." And they were basic requirements that we put out there. Number one, they had to agree with our doctrinal statement. Number two, they had to be King James only. Number three, we didn't want any Calvinists. We didn't want any of the new IFB. We didn't want any, and just a whole host of lists, because in this documentary that I watched, it was a perfect example of why I knew, and we'll see it a little bit later on in this message, why we had to make sure that as we were leaving, that the right man would be there to fulfill and fill that pulpit. Because up to that point, the church had been there 30-some years and had only had four pastors, one of which was there for 21 years, and all good men. And so we listed all of these things, and because this documentary that I watched, they selected a pastor who was from the community and brought him in, and he just systematically started dismantling little by little by little by little. And he took him away from the King James and took him into another version. Took him away from singing the hymns and to just Christ honoring music, took them contemporary. Took the pulpit away, got a little like bar stand up there. Painted everything black like it was a nightclub, and just systematically started doing those things. And fortunately, the church, they were able to stand for what was right. And now they're on an upward recovery. But there are churches today. You go and you Google sometime. The Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio. It no longer exists. Or no, I'm sorry, it does exist. But it's no longer called the Akron Baptist Temple. It's now called the Bridge. That's what it's called. And it's no longer, and right now in Akron, Ohio, there's a massive building that once was filled with people. They just demolished it in this past year. And now it's a contemporary church. You go and you Google sometime the history of Tennessee Temple University and Dr. Lee Robinson and the church there, Highland Park Baptist Church. The Highland Park Baptist Church is no longer there. It is now the Church of the Highlands. And just church after church after church that they went away from what was the truth. And now either they don't exist anymore, they're closed, or they're contemporary and they resemble more of a nightclub than they do a church. And so a good beginning does not guarantee a good ending. Churches can begin in revival power and end in ruin. And so we need to ask ourselves this morning, how is our walk with God? And perhaps you're here this morning, and perhaps, man, you started off strong serving God. But now you find yourself cooling off. Many businesses, you know, they start strong. You know, grand opening. Lots of excitement. But then 5 years later, they're closed and they're forgotten. Wednesday was a busy day for us. And I had chaplain's training over at the hospital. And then had an appointment here at 12:30. And then Mandy had to be to Corning for an eye appointment at 4 o'clock. And so we snuck in a quick lunch in between all of that. And Mandy had mentioned that there's a new Mexican restaurant over in Waverly. And we've been looking for a good Mexican place for a while. You were here Wednesday night. We mentioned it. We found a good one over in Horseheads. But, we're not going to drive 20 minutes just for Mexican food. And so we went there and we had it, and then I checked them out on Facebook, and a couple of the comments, they were like, well, we hope they last longer than the last one, or we hope they last longer than the restaurant that was there before the last one. And apparently restaurants in that location haven't had a very good track record, and they haven't lasted very long. And businesses can be like that. They start strong. They have a big grand opening, a lot of fanfare. A lot of excitement. But then a couple years pass, a couple years go by, and they're closed, and they're forgotten. Unfortunately, the same can happen spiritually if we drift, either as a individual. I can tell you people today in churches all over that they should be here, but they're not. And there are churches that should still be around, but they're not. And that's what happens spiritually if we drift from the truth. And so we see this morning the rise of Shiloh. But then secondly, we see the ruin of Shiloh. We see the ruin of Shiloh. You say, well what happened? We'll take your Bible, go over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Because by Eli's day, the priesthood was corrupt. his sons were very wicked. Look there, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Baal. They knew not the Lord." They knew not the Lord. They stole from the sacrifices. They committed immorality. And they dishonored God. The people, they became very ritualistic. They thought, well, we have the Ark of the Covenant. And instead of seeing the Ark of the Covenant for what it was and who it represented and who it was meant to represent, who they were supposed to worship, well, they started to see the Ark of the Covenant as a good luck charm. You know, sometimes we see our churches like that. We see our churches and treat our churches like our churches are a good luck charm. Well, if I just go to church this week, I'll be okay. If I just go to church, you know, Christmas or Easter, I'll be okay. And then when they fought the Philistines, we know what happened. Look, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 4, a couple chapters over. They would take the Ark of the Covenant into battle as if God could be manipulated. 1 Samuel chapter 4, notice verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined the battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Now keep in mind, they've already lost the battle. And so now, instead of seeking God and seeking God's face, here's what their solution was. Here's what they try to do. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring..." from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God." So here's what they tried to do. Instead of seeking God, instead of asking for God's help, instead of worshiping the one who could help them, instead of asking the one who could help them, "Lord, come with us in the battle," they took their good luck charm. They thought, well, surely, as long as we have this, God will not allow us to be defeated. And we think, sometimes we think the same way of our church. Well, if I just come to church, everything will be all right. And then we can go out and we can live any which way we want to every other day of the week and month and year. But as long as we get to church and we look at church as a good luck charm, and we think that that will spare us his judgment. And there are people sitting in churches all around our world today that they don't teach salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They teach that you have to be good and do good works in order to go to heaven. And folks, this morning, according to the Bible, they will die in their sins and they will go to hell. It is not church attendance that saves us. It is not baptism that saves us. It is not partaking of the Lord's Supper that saves us. It is not serving in church that saves us. We must make sure that we can remember that there was a time in our life where we realized that we were a sinner in need of a Savior that needed to be saved, and that we asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and save us and to take us to heaven someday when we die. If we have done anything else, if we are trusting in anything else, we will die in our sins and go to hell. It is that simple. It is that clear cut. There is no other answer. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized, how many Lord's Supper you take, how long you've served in the church, how much work you do in the church. None of that matters. If you have never been saved, you will die and go to hell. And then we know what happened here to them. The ark was captured, and Shiloh was destroyed. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 78, verse 60, "So that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men." The word forsook there in that psalm means to abandon, to leave behind. God literally withdrew his presence from Shiloh. You see, folks, this morning when God's people, when we sin and we refuse to repent, he withdraws his power. He withdraws his blessing. You go and read his letters to the churches. In Revelation, he tells them, "Repent, or I will remove thy candlestick." He'll remove their light. And folks, this morning, we can have buildings, we can have services, we can have programs, but without his presence, we're just going through the motions. And churches can become empty shells if they trade holiness for compromise. There are churches this morning in other parts of our world that they meet under tents. That's how they meet. They don't have a building. They don't have all the programs that the American church has. They don't have all of the trappings that the American church has. But they have a hunger to meet with and worship God. And folks, we need to ask ourselves, you know, Lord forbid we get a bad storm that rolls through our area. Now, let's say the Lord strikes this building with a lightning bolt and destroys this building. Will you still gather to worship? Will you still be here? Are you coming because, well, this is where I grew up, or this is where I, whatever? We need to remember that the church is not the building. The church is the people. And listen, Lord, he could send a lightning bolt tomorrow and knock this building down. But if the people are still here, we still have the church. And I remember when we were in Kansas, we had that happen. We had a tornado roll through town, three tornadoes, in fact. And we had a friend's church about five or six blocks over. Tornado came through and wiped out their building. And so we met together for a time together as a church. And I remember a couple of their men, they brought over what they could salvage from the church, and they were using our building to store some of it. And I remember I was sitting in my office working, and I heard them come in, and I went to talk to him a little bit, and I remember the one man, he was visibly upset. He was shaking. He was in tears because he was married in that building. There were memories associated with that building. And I remember what he said. He said, "But we'll rebuild and we'll keep on being the church." And We'll make new memories in a new place. And we need to remember the why we come here. Look, if you would, Judges chapter 16. As we think of Samson this morning, and Samson, Judges chapter 16, and we know the story of Samson and Delilah. Delilah would take his strength, which was in his hair. And I want you to notice what Samson says in Judges 16. And notice verse number 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he was not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Now that right there is Shiloh in one man's life. He was going to go out to battle and he didn't even realize the Lord was not even with him anymore. So we see the rise of Shiloh. We see the ruin of Shiloh. Thirdly, this morning, we see the root or the reminder of Shiloh. We see the reminder of Shiloh. Go back there, if you would, Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And notice there again, verse number 12. The Bible says, "But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name in the first," or at the first, "and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel." Judah, they had the same thought. Hey, we have the temple, so we're safe. We're good. But God said and told him, "Hey, don't think that you're the exception. Remember Shiloh." Jesus would give the same warning in Matthew 23:38. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." The temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed in AD 70. Again this morning, don't trust in religious symbols. Baptism, church membership, family heritage. "Well, my parents were Christian, so I'm a Christian." No, that's not how it works. None of those can save us. It's only Christ that does the saving. And listen this morning, don't assume that God's blessing will always rest on America either, or in your church, or in your home. Because if we turn from God, we too can and will become like Shiloh. You imagine that you walk through a once great revival site where thousands were saved, baptized, joined a church, but now it's nothing more than a tourist stop with plaques and gift shops, and what once burned with fire is now nothing but cold ash. That is Shiloh. So we see the rise, the ruin, the remembrance. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we see the responsibility of Shiloh. We see the responsibility of Shiloh. You say, well, why does God tell us to remember Shiloh? Listen, it's not to depress us. It's not to discourage us. But it's to warn us. It's to encourage us. For the unsaved, Shiloh shows that God judges sin. And don't think that you can hide behind your religion. You must repent and believe on Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31 tells us that. But then for the saved, Shiloh reminds us that God's presence is precious. Guard your walk with Him. Keep your church pure in doctrine and in practice. That's why we just don't have anybody and everybody come and preach here. Because not everybody that says that they're a Christian or that they're a preacher believes this book, believes like we do or ought to believe. Revelation 2:5, the Bible says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so we need to ask ourselves this morning, is my walk with God real? Or is it just ritual? Am I depending on past blessings? Or daily seeking His presence? Could my home, my testimony, or even my church become another Shiloh? Shiloh this morning was once the place where God's name dwelt. Today, it's an archaeological ruin. And God says, hey, you go. You look at Shiloh and remember. Don't trust in religion. Don't play with sin. Don't take God's presence for granted. The preacher once said this, the saddest epitaph that could be written over any life, any home or any church is this: Ichabod, the glory is departed. May it never be said of us this morning, the glory is departed. May the glory, as it says in 1 Chronicles, I believe, or 2 Chronicles, the glory filled the house. May it always be able to be said in this place that the glory of the Lord fills the house. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.